James Garfield. James Garfield was a president of the United States in the 1870s. I don't know if you recall your American history. I'm a history teacher at a school, so I get to talk about history every so often. James Garfield's a really interesting guy because he was the second president to be assassinated, the first being Lincoln, and he was the second. James Garfield was pursued by a guy who wanted another term in office underneath him, and he didn't give it to him, and so he got frustrated, and this guy came after James Garfield and shot him in the back. Actually, shot him in the back and shot him in the arm once. But believe it or not, he actually didn't die from the bullet wound. He actually died several weeks later. And actually, he probably could have survived his wounds, except for one thing. That during this time period, medical doctors were not totally aware of germs that could be spread through hands and stuff like that. So when he was shot, these doctors would take their hands, they probably hadn't washed all day, and they're poking around, and you know, there's nothing sterile about this process. And so he winds up dying several weeks later of pneumonia. These doctors were totally blind to what they were doing. They thought they were helping this guy, and actually they were killing him because they were totally blind to the reality of what was taking place. Now, if you can imagine, if you went back there, you would have said, stop, wash your hands. No, President Garfield will survive. Just wash your hands. That if you went back there, you would have known something. You would have known what he needed because you were in the light. Those doctors were in the darkness. What other things in our life, when we think about it, are we totally dark to? Are there things that we do in our day-to-day life that we are totally blind to the consequences of our actions? I wonder this myself as a somewhat new father. Am I doing the right thing by my kids? Am I raising my son the right way or the wrong way? And sometimes it kind of feels like, well, should I let him have this or someone else? Oh, sure, fine, whatever. Hoping, praying that that's the right decision to make. I work, and so I hope that the many decisions that I make in work are the right ones, but sometimes I'm kind of in the dark, and I'm sort of blind to the consequences of my actions. How about spending my time, even, or what I watch, or what I read? What are the consequences of my actions? Sometimes I feel like I'm in darkness. I don't see a thing. God gives us light for life, not just as individuals, but also as a community. That's what I want to talk about today. The scripture that we're going to be looking at today is 1 John 1:7, page 862. 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you would be about the sermon. Lord, that you would teach me as I preach and teach us as we read your word and as we study it. Lord, would you shape us and mold us by it? Lord, grant us light this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, in looking at this verse, the first thing we want to ask ourselves is, what in the world is light? As you've sort of noticed with Tom preaching through the Gospel of John, John tends to say something really simple, and he means something really complex. Light in this verse is sort of like the word interesting. One of the words that I absolutely ban my students from using in their papers is the word interesting. Why? Because you can use it for anything, right? How are you feeling about Christmas coming up? Interesting. How are you feeling about this paper? Interesting. How are you feeling about that toe infection? Interesting. Right? You can use it for just about anything. It's a wiggle word. If you're ever learning a new language, for those of you who know Spanish, interesante is the wiggle word that you can use for anything. What do you think about this? Interesante, interesante, interesante. It's one word, but it can mean all sorts of things. That's why it's a bad word to use in a paper. And so light works like that in that it's one word, but it means so many different things. But it's not like interesting in that it's really specific. But John's using this particular word in a very special way. So I apologize for going into a whole bunch of different scripture verses and kind of looking at a theology of light, but it's kind of like if we don't get this, the rest of the verse won't make much sense. So what is light? The first thing we got to figure out is what's the opposite of light? The opposite of light is darkness. That, biblically speaking, darkness is an inability to know the truth and to do the truth. to be totally blind, to be totally dark. As Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once in darkness," and then verse 11, "have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness." Darkness means you don't know what's true, and so you don't know what to do. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but back in North Carolina, where I grew up, I got to go to a cave once. They've got a lot of caves out in North Carolina. And the one that I went to was really neat. It was nice and clean and set up. They had guardrails. They actually had lights inside. And so we went probably about a quarter of a mile through this cave. We got to a particular point, and this is what they do this on the tour all the time. They wanted to give us a picture of what it looked like to be in total darkness. And so they said, okay, everybody against the wall so that nobody falls. And then they turned out the lights. I don't know if you've ever experienced blackness like that. It's not like the 3 a.m. in your house. I mean, you literally cannot see anything in front of your face. It's just nothing. I mean, you don't know whether you're up or whether you're down or where you are. It's like that biblically when we talk about darkness. That spiritually, to be dark means to not know what's right and not know what's wrong, not know what's falsehood and not know what's truth. There's a famous philosopher who once said that getting rid of God means that we no longer have any direction or any purpose to our lives whatsoever. It's like falling down into a deep, deep, dark cavern, not knowing which way's up and which way's down, which way's sideways and which way's frontways, just being dark. That is the spiritual condition of our hearts before we know God. Darkness. So then what is the light? Well, the light is not a what, it's a who. The light is Christ. John 8:12 says this. This is Jesus speaking. "I am the light of the world." Jesus encapsulates everything that we need. That if our darkness is really bad, then the light of Christ is really, really good. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean that Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world"? What does it mean for us? Well, it means three things. It means salvation. John 8:12, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life." To have light means to have life, not death. That to have light means to be saved. To be saved from darkness, to be saved from sin, and to be saved from the judgment of sin. It also means knowledge of truth. Ephesians 5:13. "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible." I don't know what's right or what's wrong until I have the light. I had a really good friend who told me this story once about she had really had a really good group of friends before she was a believer. And they just loved to talk. It was like their favorite thing. They would talk over coffee. They would talk over tea. They'd talk over pancakes, whatever. They would love to talk. And they particularly talked about their friends. And it's kind of a long story, but basically for our purposes, she becomes a believer. And as she's still hanging out with these friends, she starts to notice things. And so she starts reading her Bible a little bit more, and you know, things. It's just every time that she met with this group of women, it just something felt icky, and she didn't know what it was. And one day it sort of dawned on her, I'm gossiping, and I had no idea. I had no idea that that's what I was doing. We came together as a group, and we loved to hang out with the group because we loved to tear other people down. And I had no idea. She talked about this as I was totally blinded by what I was doing. I didn't know the truth. When we are saved and we are a part of the light, we get to understand truth. Now, it might not be all at once, but we understand something a little bit more about what is false and what is true. Lastly, to know the light is to have a relationship with God. In the verse that we just read, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Christ is in the light. We're in the light. We are united to Christ in the light. It's one and the same. To be in the light is to know God and to relate to God, not just with your head, but also with your heart as well. So what is the light? The light is the light of salvation. It's the light of truth. And it's the light of a relationship with God. Now, that's a lot to say on just one little word. So what then does it mean to walk in the light? Walking, biblically speaking, means a lived life. How do you live your life? It's a life pattern. It's a lifestyle. It's a worldview. You can use all sorts of words to describe it. But throughout the Old and New Testament, when we talk about walk, it means something about what marks our life. When other people see me, and when I think about my own life, what marks it off? Do people see me as fun? People see me as encouraging? People see me as angry? What marks my life? Walking in the light means that my life is marked by Christ and what he did. My life is marked by light. I have a pastor back in North Carolina who did a funeral once. He knew the man who had passed away pretty well. They had known each other for a number of years. And he was asked at the point of the service to come up and say a few words about his friend who had passed along. And the casket's there, and he gets up in the casket, and he goes, "Bob was not a good man." Now all the family members are going, "Come on, hurry up. Bob was not a good man. He was an angry man. He was a selfish man. He was a man who struggled mightily. But he knew the Lord, and his life is marked by God's grace. He was not a good man, but through Christ he was redeemed." It's always been a beautiful picture of that's what our life should be like. That our life is marked by God's grace. And so what does it mean to walk in the light? It means first and foremost that we are saved by grace alone. That we are saved in spite of ourselves. And so how does that work out in a lifestyle? I think it goes to something like faith, love, and hope. Faith in what God has done for me. Faith in who Christ is. Love, what I do with that faith. And what do I do with that grace that God has shown me? And then hope, what do I hope in the end? I had a conversation with a friend in St. Louis just recently, just a couple days ago, and he was talking to me about a former student that I had. She has just became a doctor, just did a residency last year, and she decided to do a medical missions trip in Africa. And she was supposed to go there and meet with a team who was running a hospital there, a community hospital. So she got all prepared. She got all her stuff together, really excited. She, you know, looked up all the team members and was excited about meeting with them. And when she got there, she was told that, well, everybody on the team is going back to the States. So her and the friend that she went with is now in charge. Just became a doctor, like a couple months earlier. In charge of a community hospital, not just the medical part, but also the business part and everything else. And I can tell you that she made it through, but barely. But when she was talking to my friend back in St. Louis, she was him, and it was kind of inspiring for him. She said, "You know, I have been told my entire life about God has changed me and shaped me, that he's called me to be faithful because he has been faithful to me. And you know what? I got an opportunity to do that. I was thrown into this really difficult position in which I really did not know what to do. And I got to live out my faith, and it was pretty neat to see that happen." So what it means to live out or to walk in the light, no matter what the circumstances are, that because God has been so faithful to me and giving up of his son for me, that my faith is not contingent upon the circumstances of my life. And that I can love out of that in spite of the fact that things aren't going so well. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Light gives us direction for life. And not just direction as individuals, right? We could talk about making right decisions on a day-to-day basis, but also that light, part of walking in light is to share that light as well. The passage that we just read, Isaiah 60:1-3, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. And the important part is verse 3. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That as you walk in the light, as you live out a life of faithfulness, that is going to be attractive to those who are in darkness. That we are to share our light with the world. What is that kid song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Hide it in a bush, oh no, right? What has God done for me? He has filled me up with light, with life, with purpose, with understanding the truth. I can't help but share that with the world. That is what it means to walk in light. Not only that, but walking in light means that I actually have a direction and a purpose. See, light isn't just there. Light goes somewhere. That we have hope that one day light, God's light, will cover the entire world. Revelation 22:3-5. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. The hope of the end of the story is that God's love and light will be the center of the universe. That everyone will see. In fact, you won't even need the sun or the moon. Why? Because God will dwell with his people and we will dwell with him. That's the hope that we have. That this light that we have just an inkling of in this life, we hope we're going to see it in such a beautiful and wonderful way that it would wipe away every tear from our eyes. And if you catch a glimpse of that, if you have a sense of that beauty and the beauty that we share as believers, now think about how dark the world really is. And how dark sometimes we wander. Now, this works really well for us as individuals. But that's not actually where the verse goes. 1 John 1:7 not only says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So, not only do we walk in the light, but we walk in the light together. This word fellowship, I don't know if you feel this way. I know I do. Growing up in sort of a nominal Christian home and going to church, the first thing I think of when I see the word fellowship is fellowship hall. Did anybody grow up with a fellowship hall? Okay. Here's what I think of fellowship hall. Coffee, maybe donuts, maybe not. Okay. And people talking around, talking about what they did then the weekend, small talk. Right. That's generally what I think of. Maybe that was different for you, but that's what I think of. That's what fellowship is. And fellowship is usually a stamp that you can place upon all sorts of activities. Well, why are we all going to go skiing together as a church? Well, fellowship. Now it's spiritual, right? The word fellowship, at least the Greek is koinonia. The root there actually means to share, That fellowship means people sharing together in a community. I'm going to embarrass Tom for just a second. One of the neat things that Tom had said to me once after a leadership meeting, he said, I don't want Gateway to be just a club. Don't want Gateway to be just a club. And I think that that's the danger of a sort of weak idea of fellowship, that church becomes a club. It becomes an activity place. You pay your dues with the tithes and offerings, and you just sort of hang out together. And it's no wonder that a lot of people sometimes don't want to go to church. Why? Because it's just an activity, and I can be a Christian. I can know God on my own, right? I don't necessarily need all that rigmarole. To have fellowship with one another means that we share something together. Well, what do we share? I want you to kind of look at this verse. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Notice how it doesn't say, well, you can have fellowship with one another if your schedule allows and if you'd like to and if it makes sense. And if you don't have anything going on the weekends, then that's you can have fellowship. It says you have fellowship. Fascinating thing. If you're connected with Christ, you have brothers and sisters, period. It's not a choice. If you know Christ, you are spiritually connected to him. That means that you are spiritually connected to one another. Don't have a choice. Whether I like you or not, we're in it together. So the question becomes then, what do we do if we're connected? What do I do if I'm spiritually connected to you because we have the same Father, because we have the same Savior? First of all, it means that if we're not in a community, then it's a dangerous position to be in. I'll tell you, there are many times when I get up on a Sunday morning and I think to myself, I just don't want to go. I'm tired. I'm feeling bad about something that happened. So church then becomes a burden. And then, you know, usually God kind of smacks me around a little bit and I come to my senses and I realize, what other place would I want to be than with my brothers and sisters? It's not that I have to go to church. It's that I get to. And not just that I get to, I need to. Not because there's anything special in the treats afterwards or because there's anything special in what we do here. It's because I'm with my brothers and sisters who are walking in the light and I'm walking in the light too. I need it. Because 6 days out of the week, a lot of times I'm walking in total darkness and I need the light again. I need to remember what I'm here for. I need to remember who I am. I need to remember who God is and what he's done for me. I need that. So, what does it mean to share together? What does it mean to fellowship together, to have fellowship with one another? It means that we share our lives then. It means that we share our love together. It means that we share the gospel with one another. It also means that we share our struggles and our pains and the things that are hard for us. It also means that I open myself up to you pointing me back to the light when I'm doing something stupid. It means that when I'm despairing, I'm opening myself up and giving you permission to remind me what the truth is. If you're in the light, you're not walking in it alone because you have Christ and because you have one another. It's kind of amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, who needed nothing, hung out with a lot of people all the time. He had 12 guys who he continually hung out with, and he had 70, and then he had a whole crowd. Jesus, even though he didn't need anybody, met with people all the time. So the question for us then is, how am I involved in this fellowship? How well do I know my fellow Christians who are walking in the light? It's a question that I often ask myself a lot. Do I know you and do you know me? Am I letting you know me? Brothers and sisters, we need to challenge ourselves with the fact that our culture does not value community in the way in which Christian community really needs to be. Our culture does not like it when people open up and share their hurts or their struggles. If we're going to be a redeemed community that walks in the light, then we have to be honest with who we are. We have to allow ourselves to share with one another. And oh, by the way, I love how John slips this in there. Do you notice what he slips in there at the end of the verse? And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Why do you think he says that after he mentions fellowship with one another? Because guess what? We're all sinful. Being in community means we're going to sin against one another. It means that we're going to do dumb things. But we still have a Savior who forgives us. That being a redeemed community does not mean we're a perfect community by any stretch of the imagination. But we know and we have hope that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And that even though we are going to have our faults, we're going to have our personality challenges, we're even going to sin against one another, we have hope that we know that the Lord still loves us and that forgiveness is still ours. Let us walk in the light. I'm going to challenge you this week to think about how can you walk in the light with your fellow brothers and sisters? And that might be here, it might be somewhere else, it might be people that you know. How can I walk in the light with others and have fellowship with them? And if you don't know the light, think about what you're missing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have drawn us out of darkness. Lord, I pray, even for myself, Lord, that I would hear these words. Lord, that we would hear your word. And Lord, that we would lean upon you, knowing that you will move us in the right direction. Lord, you will teach us what we need to know. Lord, help us to be a redeemed community, a community that loves one another and shares everything with one another. Help us to be that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.